of it because I wanted to be able to remember it and warn people about it. So yeah, watch out for the little back swimmers. They got a bite and they can make it, they can make themselves felt. Yeah. Well, I normally would tell you at this time that you are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Coming up, we'll have local news with the Up North Report. Our weather for the day, we're seeing clouds and rain across the region with highs in the mid-40s to low-50s. Southeast winds 5 to 15, could gust up to 25. Chance of rain and cloudy for tonight, lows in the mid-30s to mid-40s. Don't forget, coffee with KAXE and KBXE today. Join us in Bemidji or Grand Rapids from 9 to 11 for coffee and donuts. It's 7:01.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. Governor Tim Walz is giving food banks a $4 million boost as the emergency food system braces for the temporary pause of SNAP benefits due to the federal government shutdown. The Minnesota Reformer reports Walz made the announcement on Monday during a visit to the Open Door Food Shelf in Eagan. SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as food stamps. Recipients will not receive their benefits in the month of November unless Congress reconvenes and passes a spending bill. That means the 440,000 Minnesotans who typically rely on SNAP for food are likely to seek help from food shelves instead. Most SNAP recipients are children, seniors, and people with disabilities. The money comes from the Department of Human Services budget. Most is from the Human Services Fund, which is intended for emergency services. The rest is from the Family First Prevention Services Act, which is meant to support at-risk children and families. Walz said members of Congress need to, quote, get back to work. But he also said that Democrats should continue to refuse to vote for a budget bill that doesn't include health care subsidies for, quote, as long as it takes. The Beltrami County Board of Commissioners has unanimously approved a plan to demolish the current jail facility once the new one is built. Administrator Tom Berry says the jail steering committee was in favor of the demolish option, given that the budget for this portion of the project is $8.5 million and the county may have future space needs.
We're not growing more land downtown. We're already somewhat constrained on the campus that we have now. We don't want to consume any more taxable land and take that off the taxable role. And so instead, we need to be better stewards of preserving and repurposing existing land that we have.
Construction of the new jail facility is so far on time and on budget, with commissioners also virtually touring the progress during their October 21st work session. Beltrami County voters overwhelmingly supported a special sales tax to fund the construction of a new jail facility in 2023. Dollars generated from that tax would also fund the demolition of the current jail. Tearing down the existing jail and constructing a new sallyport, a type of garage door that allows for secure transport of incarcerated people, on the judicial center is expected to be the least costly option at just over $6 million. A partial remodel or a complete remodel was also considered, but the price tag increases by the millions for retrofitting the nearly 40-year-old correctional facility. 13 school districts in northern Minnesota are asking voters for financial support in special elections on Tuesday, November 4th. Early absentee and early in-person voting has been underway for these districts since September 19th, with many offering additional early voting hours this weekend. Clearbrook-Gonvick is one of those districts. It is returning to voters for a capital bond request to address school building needs after voters rejected one in 2023. The dollar amount is bigger, from $28 million to nearly $35 million, but the district says a revamped plan made with community stakeholders includes more spaces for classrooms and technical training. Some districts are asking for more flexible funding via operating levies. While capital bonds can only be used on structures, operating levies go into a district's general fund, which is used for things like payroll and other operating expenses. Find out more information on how to vote in special school elections with our guide at KAXE.org. Scores of Northland athletes will race in the state cross-country meet Saturday. Megan Buffington has the details.
Greenway, Nashua, Keewatin, and Wadena Deer Creek qualified both their girls and boys teams at section meets last week. It will be the GNK boys' 10th straight appearance and the girls' 2nd after they qualified for the first time last season. Also returning to state is last year's single-A champion Staples Motley senior Audrey Brownell. She is one of 6 section champs from northern Minnesota this season. In total, 37 individual Northland athletes and 12 teams will race at the University of Minnesota's Les Bolstad Golf Course on Saturday. Find more on the meet and the qualifiers at kaxe.org. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories and photos at kaxe.org, where you can also find content from our music, phonology, and morning show teams. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is sponsored by Woodland Bank, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River, dedicated to serving the financial needs of the community and their customers. More info at woodland.bank.
The Up North Report, you hear it here on KAXE. Coming up, we'll have more from Morning Edition. This is People Powered KAXE, and it is Member Appreciation Week. Thank you so much for all you've done to keep us going on the air. John, we've heard from a couple of folks this morning. As we said, this is the Member Appreciation Week because so many people have come forward and continued to support us since the defunding of public media from the federal government. We just heard from someone else, our texter this morning, Susan from Cotton. Good to hear from you. In addition to my membership, an extra thank you to support Phenology Reports, the jewel of my Tuesday morning.
Oh.
Thank you, Susan.
Stolen from the Louvre.
And Marianne.
Left in the street.
Marianne from Brooklyn, New York was listening earlier and pledged and said, thank you for a Member Appreciation Week and all you do for the community. Just throwing a little bit extra in. 2 people we've heard from. We had an anonymous member who said, we know it's Member Appreciation, but we want to put a match on the table, and we need 3 more throughout our morning to get an extra $1,000. Mainly this week is about thanking you and connecting with you, whether that means texts or showing up for donuts or music events or pints or Halloween costumes. We thank you so much for everything you've done for us. If you didn't get a chance to donate, you can do that now. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. And when Susan was listening earlier and she had said she really appreciated what you said, she said her earlier comment, she was referencing your gently passionate defense of public broadcasting. And then she had a phonology note for us. She said we have bear scat and caught a bear's tush on our trail cam last week. Bear tush, I like
it. Okay, well, the bears are not settling to their normal hibernation. And we hope to have more information about bears coming up. If not this week, next, we'll find somebody who can actually tell us more about bears from an educated perspective,
yeah,
rather than random guesses by yours truly.
why the bear tush?
I did, my good friend Lori, who is the teacher at St. Joseph's School, teaches the 6th grade, and I visit with them every week, and we go for a hike and do nature with them. And she sent me a picture last night that the principal had sent to her of a badger that was on their trail cam. And, you see the holes in the ground where the badgers have come and gone. But in all my time in northern Minnesota, I have only seen 1 badger. And I was absolutely floored by its beauty. Just a gorgeous animal.
There we go.
Sort of like a corgi, only fatter.
It is almost 7:10. Coming up, we've got some music for you, and we've got more phonology and more student reports, and then Tornado Bob in. Someone once again wanting to know, what's the winter going to be like, Bob? And I want to know what Bob looks at to kind of come up with an answer to that. And is there an answer to that?
Well,
ever Farmer's Almanac.
I was at a gathering this weekend, and someone told me that one of the weather gathering groups, NOAA or somebody like that, had suggested that the winter would be colder and snowier. And last week, Bob gave us a completely different answer, saying he thought it would be not very cold and not as snowy.
Okay. So
we have competing sides.
Yeah.
Now we will have the World Series of Weather brought to you by Gillette.
6 hours of the World Series last night is what National Public Radio is reporting on. And Toronto lost last night. But
yes.
6 hour game. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You're following the World Series.
You're probably not up yet.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks for being with us today. We sure appreciate it. We also appreciate our business supporters of KEXE.
We receive support from Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting. More information at oakhillseniors.com.
Showers are likely today, cloudy with highs in the mid-40s to low-50s. Southeast winds 5 to 15. They could gust up to 25. And tonight, chance of rain and cloudy, lows in the mid-30s to mid-40s.
Support for KEXE comes from the Great Lakes Aquarium, celebrating 25 years of bringing aquatic life and learning to Duluth, Minnesota, with ocean and freshwater-focused exhibits for visitors of all ages. Hours and tickets at glaquarium.com.
This week, our question of the week is favorite Halloween costumes. And people have been texting in photos, whether it's their kids or themselves. We would love to get your photos. You can text 218-326-1234 or tell us about your favorite or not so favorite candy. Text 218-326-1234. I think my number one favorite candy is Kit Kat. I love a Kit Kat.
Kit Kat is a pretty good candy.
Or Twix. There's not many Twixes out there, it seems like.
Twix is good. I tend to break away the wafer on the bottom and let the caramel melt in my mouth. Mm-hmm. But I'm one of those people that, like, I seldom chew chocolate. I mostly let chocolate melt.
Oh, you savor.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. In fact, it was a great bone of contention among the brothers and sisters, of which I had many, because we would all get a candy bar, and mine would last much longer than everybody else's, because I would break off little pieces and put it in my mouth and let it melt, and then I would take another piece and let it melt, and 30 minutes later, I'd be finishing up my candy bar, and they would all be like long done, and they would be looking at my candy bar like, did you get more than us?
Brothers.
But it was just, you know.
You sound like my brother, and he would just savor it, and I thought he was eating at the same pace I was, and then he would just enjoy it after I was all done, you know.
I never tried to, you know, like put it in their faces.
Well, my brother did.
I was just trying to enjoy the chocolate, you know. Yeah.
It's a good way to be.
But yeah, when it comes to candy, Halloween candy, I heard conversation yesterday and Malachi brought up the peanut butter toffee that even at my advanced age, I'm sure that the pieces that I was getting when I was 5 and 6 were probably World War II surplus, because they were as hard as, I mean, if you dropped them, they shattered. It was, yeah, not my favorite. Toffee never was one of my favorites. But, you know, they did talk about different candies, and I heard the Bitto Honey and some others. The one that came to my mind that I actually enjoyed was a sucker called the Slowpoke.
Oh, yeah. Slowpokes.
Yeah. Caramel with chocolate like on the outside.
Kind of like a Milk Dud on a stick.
Well,
Or not chewy, maybe?
The Milk Dud was kind of, as I recall, was sort of a Now, maybe I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of malted milk balls. The milk dud was chocolate with a caramel center.
Yeah.
Right. The milk, the milk ball or the malted milk balls were sort of, they sort of disappeared. Once you got the chocolate off, whatever was inside sort of melted on your tongue. But yeah, very much like milk duds. Yep.
Coming up, stay tuned. We'll have more phonology and we'll have more student reports in this hour. And we are continuing to take donations from you with a match on the table during this Member Appreciation Week. We are looking for three more. Again, this is Member Appreciation, but we had a member come forward and say, I want to help raise a little extra money because I love Tuesday mornings. So three more donations coming in and we get an extra $1,000 unlocked. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
Is there some freewheeling watcher shooting marbles in the sky, holding your ears between their fingers, watching it burn till the fire dies? Why is it heroic to untether? How is a lonesome holy grail? And if we really come and go unknown, couldn't I find myself in jail? Oh, keeper, how I love you. I love you and you and you. And returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. But it's the only thing to do. Is it evolving, turning inward? Oh, what an easy way to be. Only kneeling at the altar of the great and mighty me. Let me break myself apart. Instead and scatter to my to be the gospel without words. Oh, my darlings, how I love you. I love you and you and you. And returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. But it's the only thing to do. There's no honor in the pilgrimage until a soul returns to hold another's hand, and then, and only then, it learns that life is like a stone, only skipping for a time. It'll never see the other side. And I was born to love you. I love you and you and you. Oh, returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. Returning to myself is just returning me. That's the only thing I want to do.
Brad brand new music from Brandi Carlile, Returning to Myself. It is 7:19 coming up. We've got Phenology on this Member Appreciation Week at KAXE. Folks donating to get that extra match that is out there. And again, it is Member Appreciation. Someone donating from Brooklyn, New York, saying thank you for Member Appreciation Week.
Yeah.
And here's a donation.
Wow.
Holy cow. Thank you so much for that. If you didn't get a chance to help us out, if this is the normal time of year where you would renew your membership, you can do that by texting the word donate to 218-326-1234.
Support for KAXE comes from the Grand Rapids Area Community Foundation, playing a vital role in connecting charitable intentions with community needs. Awarding $30 million in grants and scholarships over the past 30 years to make a lasting impact in our area. More information at gracf.org.
Thanks also goes out to Rapids Brewing Company. They're a place for gathering and community featuring live music multiple times a week, farm fresh food, and rotating beers from their own brew house. More information about events, music, and menu available, rapidsbrewingco.com.
And support comes from the Friends of Rice Lake National Wildlife Refuge near McGregor, offering 18,000 acres of woods, water, and wildlife for public to experience. Located 5 miles south of McGregor on Highway 65, learn more about Friends of Rice Lake National Wildlife Refuge events and activities on Facebook. And as an aside, I have to tell you that that is a really remarkable place to visit. There are a lot of interesting things to see there.
Sounds like they had a small celebration due to federal funding. They had to cancel out on their anniversary celebration, but they're going to do it in the future.
Yep.
And the government shutdown, not federal funding cuts. But that's one of the many places that you hear about when you tune into KAXE. I'm Heidi Holton along with John Latimer. Thanks so much for being with us. Member Appreciation Week. You can join us at KAXE or KBXE today, 9 to 11 o'clock, an open house with donuts and coffee. And we'll do a little open house if you're not near Grand Rapids or Bemidji and want to join us. We'll do a little open house at like 8:40 today. You can text in or call in and, just ask the questions you might ask if you showed up, like, why isn't the right donut here? Things like that. Very important. Coming up next will be Phenology.
We receive support from Lakes Tax Advisors, where Ron Berg and his staff offer tax, accounting, and payroll services for Minnesota businesses. With locations in Grand Rapids and Rush City, more information at lakes.tax. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are definitely in late fall mode here. I was looking around. Well, first of all, I was on my way to the cities over the weekend. Last Friday, I visited schools in Rockford and in Bloomington and in the western suburbs of Minneapolis, and talked to teachers and students about phenology, which was always entertaining. And down there, they are probably about at their peak of bloom, of color, of the fall color. When I left here, the aspens in my yard were still largely full of leaves, bright yellow leaves, but full. And my my big tooth aspens were absolutely choked with leaves and had gone to that kind of red edge that big tooth aspens sometimes do, and they did this year in a lot of areas. But when I got back on Sunday, all the leaves were down. And I suspect that Friday morning, I had a temperature of 21 degrees at my house. So very, very cold, definitely a killing frost. And that was pretty much the end of it. I think that probably severed a lot of leaves. And then talking with my next door neighbor, Marvin, he told me that there was a lot of wind over the weekend up here. So that also stripped the leaves. But I have this group of aspens right in front of my house that one of them, and these are all of these aspens are big. They're 60 plus years old, and they are remarkably healthy for old aspens. 60 is, I won't say ancient, but 60 is definitely old for an aspen. Aspens age like humans, I think. One aspen year is probably equal to one person's life year. And so, you know, aspens live to be, you know, some of them might make it to 100, but for the most part, 70, 80 years is going to do it for an aspen if they don't have, you know, if they aren't harvested before that. But at any rate, the aspens in my front yard, this group of older aspens, and they are a clone because there's more than one stem out there, and they behave identically, which is one of the interesting things about aspens is that when they do clone, the whole organism acts as a single plant. And so they leaf out on the same day and they color their leaves on the same day and they drop their leaves on the same day. My Eagle's Nest cohort of aspens is just now reaching its peak of color. And I estimated yesterday that they were probably nearly 75% still in color, still having leaves on them. I went back and this group of aspens is so singular in my area that I keep a special note on them. And they are by my definition in my notes, they are called the Eagle's Nest Aspen Cohort, which is a long name for a group of trees that are well behind the rest of the trees, the rest of the aspens around them. The rest of the aspens in my area are devoid of leaves. They're all bare. But my Eagle's Nest aspens typically begin to show the first signs of fall. The first flecking of the leaves averages about the 10th of October. And the flecking, this year, the first noticeable yellow leaves on the plants didn't occur until the 15th of October, at which point most of the aspens around them were already yellow and dropping leaves. Peak color for my Eagle's Nest cohort averages the 18th of October. And this year, peak of color was yesterday. They are remarkably greenish yellow, still more yellow than green, but they are definitely behind all of the other aspens. They remain singular. And you may have aspens in your yard that are behaving the same way. It's all about the individual trees. And when you, like, and it's not the individual plants. Because in the case of aspens and in the case of this aspen, I have about a half a dozen that all behave the same. They're identical in terms of their leaf color, leaf emergence, and that sort of thing. So they're quite consistent. And the Eagle's Nest is in one of those aspens. And the eagles have been coming to the nest for a little bit more than a week now. And this is very typical. I looked in my records, and just about every year in late October, they show up and they'll stick around for a couple of weeks and do a little nest maintenance and just kind of, I don't know, bond with the nest before they go south. But at any rate, Sunday night, there was a sitting in my chair looking out the window, and I see the eagle soar by, kind of comes over the house and makes a big circle, and then lands in the tree above the nest, about 10 feet above the nest on a branch in the same tree. And I got my binoculars out, and as soon as I looked at the nest, I could see that there was another eagle sitting in the nest. So they are back, and this is not at all out of the ordinary. If you have an eagle's nest near you, maybe you're seeing the same things. If you're looking for color out there besides my eagle's nest cohort of aspens, aspen whips. If you have an area near you where maybe they logged aspen this summer or last year, the new growth, the new shoots that come up as a result of that, oftentimes these plants will have leaves as big as pies. And they are just, well, this past week, they just began to turn yellow. And they are a mixture of yellow and green right now. These whips probably are from 4 to maybe 7 or 8 feet tall, and they are the very newest aspens coming up. If you cut off an aspen, the roots then begin to sprout these suckers, these new plants, these new trees. And as long as there's a tree there, the tree does not do this. The roots do not put up suckers. But if you cut that tree and just leave the stump in the ground, those roots will immediately start putting up these suckers. And those suckers are anxious to be the successful tree. And so they keep these giant leaves to grow fast and to outcompete their neighbors and become the aspen in that area. So check out the aspens as you're driving around, especially the aspen whips. Another member of the aspen family, the populus deltoides, the cottonwoods, are still largely green. They're starting to turn yellow. Last Thursday when I was at the Cohasset School, I noticed that the tree there was about maybe 25% yellow, but green otherwise. The notion there is that cottonwoods are not native to this area. Where they were, where they come from, they have a different phenology. And when you bring them up here and plant them up in this country, they bring their phenology with them. And so they hold their leaves longer than other aspens in this area simply because their inbred phenology is different, for a longer growing season. Willows, especially the weeping willows, are still with a lot of leaves. The one that I observe along the river road is sort of a sage green. It's a little paler than it might have been earlier on, but it hasn't really turned yellow yet. And the leaves are still holding on to that thing pretty well, the weeping willow. Other willows, shrub willows, as I came north from the cities this past weekend, I noticed that there were a lot of willows that were just that top thatch of leaves. So willows are going to be hanging in there toward the end. Raspberries and blackberries. Yesterday, the raspberries were still quite green around my house, but there were lots of raspberries and blackberries that were quite colorful as well. The tamaracks reached their peak of color over the weekend and are sort of in beyond that now, although I have this one tamarack that is up on high ground that I observe fairly regularly. It's part of another project that I'm involved in, and I keep records on this thing like all the time. And it is just now spectacularly yellow, but it's upland. And oftentimes, this is a case where they behave a little differently than the ones in the swamps. The ones at my house that are in their swamps are in the swamps are, pardon me, are kind of hanging on and shading towards orange. And I would expect in the next week or so, the needles will start to fall off of those. And then only the new growth will have needles on it. But peak leaf color for aspens is usually around the 15th of the month of October. And this year it didn't start until the 20th and probably reached its peak around the 25th or 26th. So a little bit late there, but still appreciated. And I hope you're enjoying the tamaracks. They are going to be spectacular over the next few days. Walking around yesterday, I ran into a bunch of the little red meadowhawk dragonflies. Well, there were red ones and brown ones. The females are dark and quite brown, and the males are bright red. I suspect that they're autumn meadowhawks, but it's enough to know that they're meadowhawks, and there were a lot of them. I got to looking at my records on those, and the latest I've ever seen the red meadowhawk dragonflies was the 12th of November in 2012. I also saw them on the 3rd of November in 2004 and the 6th of November in 1994. And on Halloween in 2022, the earliest I ever noted my last meadowhawks was the 29th of September in 2005. So quite a range there. But, you know, it's sometimes with things like dragonflies, it's like being in the right place at the right time. It may be that 2005, when I saw my last one on September 29th, it may be that there were more after that, but I just wasn't in a place where I could see them. There was a mention this morning of snow buntings in the student reports, and my neighbor Marvin saw a snow bunting this past week on last Tuesday, which would have been the 21st. The average date for first sighting of snow buntings for me is the 19th of October, and it bounces around. I think just a quick glance in 2005, I saw my first one on the 1st of October. And in 2002, I saw my first one on the 29th of September. So this is, a little bit on the late side, but keep your eye out. It's been a warm fall, and that may have had something to do with it. I can't be assured of that, but snow buntings, as I described them earlier, white. When you see the snow bunting, usually it's in a flock. Marvin was telling me that the one he saw this year was a single, but usually there's a flock of snow buntings, and when you see them, they are absolutely they are white. They're not entirely white. If you had one in your hand, you'd see that there was a lot of brown on them, but when they fly, the overwhelming color that you're going to see is white. So if you see a bird or flock of birds that look really white, it's probably snow buntings. The nanny berry at my house is going bare, which is a few days later than average. Black chokeberry is down to its last few leaves, so kind of coming to the end there. I mentioned that I'd seen my last robins on the 21st of October, last so far. Actually, I saw some yesterday, so there are still a few robins in the area, and I would expect probably until sometime in November, we will continue to see robins. And finally, sometime this past week, the last of the chipmunks disappeared from my yard. Maybe you still have an active chipmunk, but keep an eye out. They're going to disappear. They're going to not disappear. They're just going to go down in the ground and live off of all of those sunflower seeds that they spent the summer stealing from your bird feeder. So they'll be fine, and they'll be back in late March, about the time the robins come back. We'll start to see our chipmunks again. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks, as always, for tuning in, and thank you for your wonderful support. This has been 42 years of pretty much bliss. Every week to come in here and get to chat with you guys about the things that I'm seeing, and then to hear back from you about the things that you're seeing, really makes it a nice program. Thanks.
You can check out what's new from KEXE. That is the Season Watch podcast. It comes out every Thursday morning. We've done a couple episodes so far. A lot of fun. Last week, Charlie teaching us the different calls of the barred owl, the different kinds of calls.
Yeah. It's
really fun to learn that. You usually hear some student reports. John, you're in it, whether you know it or not. You always get to hear a little bit of John Latimer. It's available at our website. You can also get it through podcast platforms like Apple or Spotify. And you hear it on the weekends. We get more nature on the weekends. You hear it Saturdays at 1:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Season Watch Pod. So hope you'll get more of your nature fix. So many people loving that they feel more connected to where they live, wherever they might live, when they tune in on Tuesday mornings. They start looking at things a little bit differently.
Yeah, we had we had a text this morning from Brooklyn, and mm-hmm. we also Nashville, and I have friends that live in Louisiana, and they tell me that listening to the Phenology Show just connects them to home. They're from this area, and they can just kind of tune in and see what's happening back home.
It is Member Appreciation Week. We can't thank you enough for your continued support. We want to thank all of the volunteers of KEXE. They are members as well. They put in so much time and energy to bring you great music programs. We're going to be celebrating music all day long. It is a national day of public media music, and we'll be celebrating throughout the day. We also thank our board of directors. They met last night in our Bemidji studios at KBXE, putting in their time to make sure KEXE keeps going strong. And an anonymous, confidential member who wanted to, on this Member Appreciation Week, to donate on Tuesday mornings especially. It's not our traditional fundraiser. We've heard from a couple people already, and if we hear from three more, we get an extra $1,000 unlocked thanks to that confidential member. You can text the word donate right now to 218-326-1234. I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer.
We receive support from Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty, helping guide your real estate journey in northern Minnesota since 1947. From buying or selling to land or lakeshore, Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty. More at coldwellbankernorthwoods.com. And we receive support from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
It is time for best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors a happy birthday and happy anniversary. I'll do the anniversary for today. Our friends Chris and Johnny Fulton celebrate 43 years of marriage from Grand Rapids. Hope you have a great celebration. And Corey Campbell and Lori Barrow celebrate 3 years for their anniversary from Bemidji. I just got to meet them recently at a KBXE event.
Nice.
Happy anniversary to you.
Well, and as far as birthdays today, holy mackerel. Jake Montgomery, 48. Jake is in Andover. And Casey Rutherford has a birthday today. Casey is in Minneapolis. Sarah Bignall.
What?
Yeah, you know Sarah.
I do.
She's our benevolent overlord.
Yes, she is. CEO and general manager at KXE that has been fearless in her, how she has led us through this time where we've lost federal funding and become a spokesperson for why rural media matters, especially. We just heard from someone who donated an extra, so that means the third person, longtime member who supports us, Bill in Wabana. Thank you so much for that. Just looking
thank
for two
you, Bill.
More now. That's his boy celebrating his birthday.
I realized that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we just got another one.
Oh.
That means we just have one more left to get that match that is out there during this Member Appreciation Week. But back to Sarah Bignell.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you, Sarah.
Happy birthday to Sarah. Patty Marshall. Patty, good friend, I'd like to think, having a birthday today. Patty, you're, gosh, you know, at one point, Patty, I was twice as old as you. I was 10 and you were 5. but now you're just 5 years younger than me. Neil Berglund is having a birthday today, and he is in Manterville. Jamie Lee is 72 with a birthday in Cass Lake. And Dale Hanka is having a birthday today, and Dale is in Grand Rapids. Happy birthday to all of you.
Happy birthday, Dale.
Fear.
That is new music from Susan Tedeschi, Derek Trucks, Michael McDonald, and Joe Bonamassa. The song To Know You Is To Love You. And today and every day, we want you to know how much we love you and we thank you. It is Member Appreciation Week. And thanks to you, we are where we are today. Oh, look at the pink sky out there behind you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my.
Beautiful. Check out the sky right now where you might be and let us know what it's like. I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer. We have an open house today at both KEXE and KBXE. It's a great way to meet some of the folks behind the scenes, to see the studios where the magic happens and see what life is like here at KEXE and KBXE. It's a great way, if you're coming to KEXE, to wish our fearless leader, Sarah Bignall, a happy birthday. It's her birthday today. So
yeah. Happy birthday to you if you're having a birthday today. And if you'd like it announced on the air, why, give us a call or send us a text and let us know and we will add you to the list. Although, my goodness, that's a lot of people born today.
Yeah.
You know.
There, Brandon Chase weighing in, one of our weather watchers. He doesn't know he's that. I'm just deemed him that today. 44 and steady rain in Park Rapids. Thanks, Brandon. Good to hear from you. Thank you for all you've done.
Yeah, indeed. Another generous and helpful volunteer KEXE. We receive support from the Blandin Foundation, strengthening rural Minnesota. More at blandinfoundation.org.
And thanks to Paul Bunyan Communications, they're Northern Minnesota's Apple Service Center in Bemidji and Grand Rapids, with both in-warranty and out-of-warranty service on Apple products and computer repair. More at paulbunyan.net.
And support for this program comes from Sanford Health. With the primary care locations in Bemidji and across the Upper Midwest, Sanford Health is committed to providing care close to home. Learn more at sanfordhealth.org. It's time to reconvene with our student reports. Our student reports are made possible in part by funding from the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, and our talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell. Our next report comes from Fridley Middle School's trip to the Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade.
Hey everyone, this is Hayden
and Joe from Fridley Middle School. During our trip to Long Lake Conservation Center from October 22nd through the 24th, the high temperature was 51 degrees, and we had a frosty season low of 19 degrees. We even had a little frozen rain. Ugh. But the days were mostly sunny and beautiful. But the nighttime stole the show. During our astronomy class in Campfire with S'mores, we heard coyotes yipping on the other side of the lake and heard barred owls hooting. A shooting star passed right over us. We saw the North Star, the Milky Way, and I even found Saturn on the telescope. It was really cool to see the rings.
While canoeing, we saw the muskrat and six temperature swans on the lake. We also found a Tuscot mouth caterpillar snakes near the Hibernoculum puffball mushrooms and donned its fawn. The fawn had no spots of the bird feeder with blue jays, downy hairy red bull woodpeckers, nutchats, and of course squirrels. We had a great time exploring nature, and we wanted to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and live connected.
Yeah, thank you. Get outside and live connected. Haley and Joe, great report. Tussock moth caterpillars. These are the ones that you notice because they are really, really spectacularly hairy. There's a yellow one that has black stripe. There's a beautiful white one that has these two long black filaments at the front, a bright red head, four tufts of really thick white hair. These are just stunning caterpillars. The moths, you know what? 500 of them could be in your house and you wouldn't notice. They're just not very spectacular. But they make up for it with their amazing coloration when they are caterpillars. And interestingly, in the case of the white tussock moth caterpillar, the female is flightless and she crawls out of her cocoon and she's just this grub-like animal filled with eggs, sometimes as many as 700. a male will pick up on her. She releases a pheromone that travels through the air, and a male has these giant feather-like antennae. If you look at the male moth, you'd see these two feather-like antennae that are actually his smell organs. And he will pick up on these pheromones, and he will follow them to where she is. He will mate with her, and she will lay her eggs right there where her cocoon is, and then she will die. So her life as an adult, as a moth, in quotation marks, is flightless. She has no wings. She doesn't go anywhere. She crawls out of her cocoon, and she is mated, and she lays her eggs right there. But as I said, the really spectacular part of the tussock moth's life is as a caterpillar. So when you see one of these wildly hairy, inch and a half long caterpillars, appreciate them and enjoy them, because they're really spectacular. And in their life, it is when they shine. Our next report comes from Chad Caddett's class at Little Falls Middle School.
This is Brody
and Emma
reporting from Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of October 26th.
We had sightings of flying squirrels and skunks. Most have been searching for food around our homes.
Speaking of looking for food, a classmate caught a coyote trying to steal their cat food from a feeder.
Spider egg sacs are easy to spot on windows and siding. And on sunny afternoons, we have seen glints of light reflecting off the ballooning spiders as they drift by.
There was a large flock of smaller birds that flew overhead, but they were making a lot of noise, so it was easy to identify them as red-winged blackbirds.
We have had a lot observations of larger mammals this week, including black bears, a bobcat, and a gray wolf.
A student captured multiple images of a piebald deer on his trail camera. The doe looked normal, but had a large white patch on her forehead.
We have been seeing harvestmen and crane flies, which both are sometimes called daddy longlegs.
The fruit of the high bush cranberry is easy to find this time of year, but we were surprised to see that they are still holding most of their leaves.
We have had reports of Canada thistle that was still carrying flowers and a unique sighting of blue violets in bloom.
There was a large group of 50 to 75 crows in a field.
Silver maple leaves have dropped, and the upper branches all have large buds that look like a tree in the springtime.
A student saw a tractor in a field that was hauling corn and noticed five deer that were following and picking up the spilled corn.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
That was a good report from Chad Caddett's group down there in Little Falls. Those kids are really tuned in. They do such a nice job, and they see so many things, and they get those reports in to their teacher. So it was very cool. Flying squirrels and skunks, coyotes trying to steal food from a cat food dispenser, spider eggs, ballooning spiders. That's something that when I was a duck hunter, I would find all the time. You'd be sitting in a blind, and the breeze would be drifting these big, long threads of silk past you. And at the end of this long thread of silk would be a spider. And this is a way that spiders disperse in the fall. Some spiders. Some overwinter as eggs. Red-winged blackbirds, black bears, a bobcat, and a gray wolf. Not very many gray wolves down in the Little Falls area. That had to be a pretty spectacular finding. A piebald deer. Piebald refers to those spotted, you know, mixture of light and dark. The piebald is, bald in the Old English meant white. So the bald eagle, for example, the white eagle.